ballistic missiles on Israeli targets deep inside the occupied Palestinian territories. In a statement, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps said the missiles were in response to the Israeli assassination of Hezbollah leader Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, former Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh, and IRGC commander Abbas Nil Furushan. After the strike was carried out, the IRGC said 90% of missiles hit their desired targets. The force added Israeli military and security facilities were targeted in the operation. The IRGC warned the Israeli regime of a more severe retaliation in case it responds to the attack. Following the retaliatory missile attack by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps on the Israeli regime, the Chief of Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces, Major General Mohammad Bagheri, warned the regime and its supporters that if they continue their criminal actions, Iran's next response will be even more devastating.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Tonight, the Aerospace Force of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, through its heroic and courageous operation, avenged many of the crimes committed by the Zionist regime. The past 2 months have been extremely difficult for the people of Iran and for the resistance axis. Since the assassination of martyr Ismail Haniyeh, the head of political bureau of Hamas in Tehran, we face constant requests from Americans, Europeans, and others asking us to exercise restraint to establish a ceasefire in Gaza. However, the criminal Zionist regime, with the U.S. support, escalated its crimes, committing massacres against the people of Lebanon, particularly in the assassination of a great warrior, martyr Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, Secretary General of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and IRGC senior advisor, Martyr General Nil Furushan. These were significant atrocities. The situation had become unbearable. Thankfully, the IRGC, with its highly valuable missile operation, was able to target key bases of the Zionist regime. Despite these crimes, the Islamic Republic of Iran adhered to the necessary protocols, targeting only military bases. 3 primary military bases of the Zionist regime were struck: Musad, as the center of assassinations, Nevatim Air Base, the base for F-35 fighter jets, and Hadzor Air Base, used in the assassination of the dear martyr Nasrallah. Strategic radars, as well as gathering points for tanks, armored vehicles, and personnel of the Zionist regime in the area surrounding Gaza, responsible for the massacre of the Gaza's people, were also targeted. In this operation, no economic or industrial infrastructure was hit, nor were civilians targeted, even though this was entirely possible. I hereby declare that the IRGC and the armed forces of the Islamic Republic of Iran are fully prepared, both defensively and offensively, to repeat this operation with several times more intensity. If the Zionist regime, which has gone mad, is not controlled by the U.S. and Europe, and continues its crimes or acts against our sovereignty and territorial integrity, tonight's operation will be repeated with greater force, and all their infrastructure will be hit. We hope that the U.S. will abandon its past approach and stop this criminal regime so that peace may return to the region. I must also fully express my gratitude to my dear comrades in the IRGC and Aerospace Force for successfully carrying out this operation. Additionally, I thank the Army of the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Air Defense Forces, who are responsible for defending the country's airspace, as well as the Ministry of Defense, whose valuable defense industries contributed to providing some of tonight's crucial missiles. Praise be to God, the unity and solidarity of the armed forces made this possible, and God willing, we have brought joy to the heart of our leader, Imam al-Mahdi, the supreme leader, every honorable citizen of Iran, the resistance axis, and the grieving families.
The Islamic Revolution Guard Corps launched its missile operation against Israel under the direction of its chief, Major General Hossein Salami, who stated that the attack was in retaliation for the death of Maati commanders from Palestine, Lebanon, and Iran.
With the permission of Almighty God, in revenge for the blood of the martyr and the warrior Ismail Haniyeh, as well as the blood of the commanders and the great leader of Hezbollah, the great fighter Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, and the brave commander of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, General Abbas Nil Furushan, and also in revenge for the blood of the innocent children of Gaza and the oppressed and resilient people of Lebanon, we are launching Operation Two Promise the Second.
Also, other top Iranian officials have hailed the country's retaliatory response to increasing Israeli aggression against the Islamic Republic and resistance groups in the region. Let's take a listen to the following report to find out about the Iranian officials' comments.
Iranian Minister of Defense Brigadier General Aziz Nasirzadeh said that Tuesday's operation was only part of the Islamic Republic's missile capability. Nasirzadeh called the operation completely legitimate and in accordance with international law. He also warned of very severe actions with more advanced missiles if Israel responds and targets Iran and its interests. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi echoed similar comments. He said the country exercised self-defense under Article 51 of the United Nations Charter by targeting Israeli military sites. Araghchi added the Iranian response has concluded, unless the regime decides to invite further retaliation. Iran's Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf, meanwhile, stressed that the Islamic Republic only showed a fraction of its power to the aggressors. He added that Iran stands against Israel's warmongering with all its strength and based on the right of legitimate defense. Government spokeswoman Fatima Mohajrani hailed the retaliatory response as well. She said preserving honor and dignity is always one of the top priorities of the incumbent administration. Vice President for Strategic Affairs Mohammad Javad Zarif emphasized that Iran has the inherent right to defend itself against Israel's repeated armed attacks on Iranian soil and its citizens. He emphasized that Israel and its allies are responsible for all the consequences of this regime's continuous provocations and aggression. Chief Commander of the Iranian Army, Major General Abdurrahim Mousavi, said, "If the enemies make the slightest mistake, Iran may decide to destroy their infrastructures too." He added that Iran exercised self-restraint for a while, but realized that the regime does not change its ways and has to receive a definite response. And Iran's ambassador to the United Nations, Amir Saidi Ravani, said that the country will give a harsher response in case of further aggression by Israel.
Iran's missile strike against Israel has sparked celebrations across the region, with hundreds taking to the streets to express their support for Tehran's show of strength. In Iran, crowds waved Lebanese, Palestinian and Iranian flags, with some distributing sweets to those in attendance. Palestinians in Gaza found joy in the chaos, watching hundreds of missiles aimed at Israel after nearly a year of regime's relentless bombardments on the besieged strip. Yemenis also joined in the festivities, holding up images of the martyred Lebanese leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah while chanting anti-Israeli slogans. Similar celebrations unfolded in the occupied Palestine, Iraq, Jordan and Syria as hundreds gathered to mark the occasion. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah reports ground clashes with Israeli forces in southern Lebanon, forcing them to retreat. Hezbollah said the clashes took place in Al-Adisa as its fighters prevented Israeli troops from infiltrating into the town. Israeli soldiers suffered casualties. One succumbed to his wounds later. Meanwhile, Israel conducted fresh airstrikes on the capital Beirut and the southern city of Nabatea. The regime began its aggression against Lebanon 2 weeks ago with pager and walkie-talkie explosions followed by airstrikes. Since then, more than 1,000 people have been killed in Lebanon. That's according to the health ministry. It says a million more have been displaced. As Israeli attacks on various areas of Lebanon continue, Iran has begun sending shipments of humanitarian aid to the country. According to Iran's ambassador to Syria, two cargo planes arrived Tuesday at Syria's Latakia International Airport carrying humanitarian aid for Lebanese citizens who fled to Syria and to people inside Lebanon who are under the ongoing Israeli aggression. Hossein Akbari said the aid includes medicines, medical supplies, surgical materials, relief items and food. He added that there are also clothes and tents that can be used in the current situation in Lebanon due to the shelling and destruction. Akbari stressed that Iran will continue to provide support and humanitarian aid through additional convoys to the Lebanese people.
There is no doubt that there is continuous cooperation and support among the countries and movements of the resistance axis. Given the circumstances faced by our dear Lebanese people, we have decided to provide them with humanitarian aid, which will be divided into two parts. First, for Lebanese refugees in Syria, and second, for the Lebanese people affected by the brutal war and genocide being waged by the Zionist entity against Lebanon. This will not be the last assistance from the Iranian people to Lebanon, as we, as a people and government, will continue to provide support and humanitarian aid through additional convoys to the Lebanese people, overseen by the Iranian Red Crescent Organization, which initiated the organization and delivery of this relief shipment to the Lebanese people.
Nearly 1 year into the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza, more civilians are killed as Israeli air and artillery strikes continue to pound the blockaded territory. In one of the attacks, at least three Palestinians were killed in Israeli bombing of the town of Khuza near Khan Yunis, southern Gaza. Also in Khan Yunis, an Israeli airstrike targeting tents of the displaced Palestinians left dozens dead. Elsewhere in the south, a number of fatalities were reported after an Israeli airstrike targeted the Al-Mashru'a area in Rafah. The Israeli aggression on Gaza began in October last year. Since then, nearly 41,700 Palestinians have been killed and over 96,600 injured. Malnutrition, lack of medicine, and other basic necessities are also taking their toll on the Gaza population. Our Gaza correspondent Moti Abu Musabeh joined us earlier with more details about Gaza developments. Let's take a listen.
Let me begin with the vicious massacres that were committed over the last night by the Israeli occupation forces against various parts of Gaza Strip. At least 70 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over the last night as a result of those incessant and cruel attacks carried out by the Israeli occupation forces. As we have mentioned over the last night, that it was highly expected for the Israeli occupation forces to commit these massacres. The Israeli bombardments were crazy over the last night. They were vengeful against the Palestinian people who took to the streets hailing the rockets and missiles fired and launched by Iran into the depth of the Israeli occupation forces. At least 70 Palestinian civilians were reportedly slaughtered over the last night. 35 out of them were in Khan Yunis when the Israeli occupation forces carried out a swift attack against the eastern part of Khan Yunis, targeting several residential neighborhoods there, including Ma'an and Al-Fukhari and Al-Manara areas. Those people were killed as they were sleeping inside their houses. Their houses were destroyed over their heads. Many of them were women and children, as usual. Dozens of them are still believed missing under the rubble of those destroyed houses.
The Yemeni army says it has conducted a fresh retaliatory operation against Israeli targets deep inside the occupied territories. Army spokesman Yahya Sari said the armed forces targeted an Israeli military site with several Quds 5 missiles. He said the projectiles successfully hit their targets. Sari also said continued British and American support for the Israeli regime puts their interest at risk. He added the Yemeni armed forces will expand their military operations against Israel and its backers until the regime stops its aggression on Gaza. Sari also hailed Iran's missile strike on Israel, saying the Yemeni armed forces are ready to join Tehran in the anti-Israel operations. That is a wrap for this hour's news bulletin.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Bazaar.
If you look around, nearly every object you see is made of raw material extracted from a mine. Basically, if you can't grow it, you have to mine it. The extraction of minerals, metals, and fuels from the ground is one of humankind's oldest industries. Never more than now has society been so dependent on greater variety and larger volumes of mined products. So it's no surprise that mining fuels our modern world and makes economies grow. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Alireza Ikhtiarzadeh, and this week we will be exploring the mining industry while shining the spotlight on the machinery used in this sector. We wanted to see what types of machines are used and who is actively manufacturing them. Plus, we wanted to understand why the mining sector is crucial to the national economy and how manufacturers contribute to its progress. So, let's roll out the show. Our quest for answers led us to Shahrud city in Semnan province, where we visited a company specializing in manufacturing various mining machines. With nearly 20 years of experience, this knowledge-based company is active in a host of fields. It conducts research, development, and production of equipment needed in various industries. That being said, it also manufactures a variety of excavating, drilling, trenching, and digging machines. The life of any product begins in the design room. This company has researched and developed these machines and has perfected their performance. Optimizing the machine size, speed, and power to carry out tasks has also reduced the expenses related to projects where these machines are used. These machines can be used in agriculture and road maintenance, among other medium-scale construction projects. Most materials needed to make these machines can be purchased inside Iran. Steel sheets, gears, wires, and whatever else is required to build the machine can be domestically found. And if a design requires a particular part, this company can make its own molds to create the parts. You might find it interesting that these machines are currently imported, as there is a high demand among mining companies for equipment. So, indigenizing the production of mining machines has been a big step towards supporting this sector. Another benefit to local production is it saves the country millions by cutting back on imports. The beating heart of this knowledge-based company is its research and development department. Here is where all the magic happens. This area employs some of the most talented and experienced specialists to research, design products, and optimize existing ones. But that's not all. The research and development department also studies future projects. This company also dabbles in making equipment used to harness renewable energy. This company not only uses its own expert staff, but also stays up to date on the latest knowledge by maintaining links with the Industrial University of Shahrud. It collaborates with academic institutions and exchanges knowledge with them too. Furthermore, this knowledge firm also uses capacities and resources made available by Semnan Tech Park. Among its services, it offers the execution of projects through contracting. For example, it has used its machines to complete piping and installation of telecommunications manholes for intercity networks. Another example is carving drainage systems in agricultural fields using its trenchers. Over the years, this company has made a variety of award-winning machines, such as drilling machines equipped with fiber optic lights. Moreover, this company has invented 6 products that have been internationally patented. This knowledge-based manufacturer has never stopped eyeing the future and has plans to expand its production units and product portfolio in the coming years. The company we just mentioned is part of the puzzle that helps Iran's mining sector thrive. It is one of Iran's key industries, as the country is one of the top 10 mineral-rich nations globally. Roughly 7% of global mineral reserves can be found in Iran, making it one of the most important mineral producers in the world. Numbers from Iran's Trade Promotion Organization show that last year the sector saw a growth in exports. Government officials, however, say export figures could still be much higher. Furthermore, efforts have been placed on encouraging research and production in knowledge-based firms to increase specialized production, such as mining machines, in the market. And here is where knowledge-based companies play a big role. Okay, time for me to take a little break from here and divert your attention to a report that I made earlier in the week. Welcome to another special feature of Bazaar. Today, we are discussing energy production, specifically electricity production through gas turbines and some of the problems that come with it. So, at different times of the year, mainly during the summer, we get sporadic blackouts at peak hours, at one of the peak hours, let's say around 12 at noon until 4 to 5 p.m. Because we cannot store electricity, electricity production must always match electricity consumption. But because of the temperature during these hours, during this time of the year, during the summer, high temperatures in particular, negatively affect electricity production through gas turbines. So first we're going to take a look at, well, why that is and how gas turbines work. And also, we believe that we have found a solution at Sharif Innovation Center, in one of the companies that has made that solution, and we're going to check that out too. Why do high temperatures negatively affect the performance of a gas turbine? Well, bear with me as I try to explain how a gas turbine works through this prototype that they have here. This is the prototype of the device that would be used at scale. This is not at scale. So imagine this is the gas turbine. How it works is that it sucks air through these air ducts, and the temperature of that air is very important. I'm going to get back to that. The air goes through a compressor here. The compressor compresses the air, which we would need the compressed air for the combustion chamber. A combustion chamber essentially makes this work exactly like a plane engine or a car engine. A car engine is slightly different because the movement that it produces is linear, whereas the plane engine has rotary movement. So that's exactly what it is like, because it produces rotary movement. So in the combustion chamber, we add a certain type of gas to the compressed air, and then a little spark creates an explosion, and the explosion, the high pressure air, would then spin our turbines. And the turbines, which have movement in them, are connected to a generator, and the generator's job is to turn movement into electricity, which goes through the power grid and then gets to whoever needs it. Now, the thing here, the important thing about the air temperature, is that we need ideal conditions, ideally, for the machine to work at peak performance. And that ideal condition is at sea level 15 degrees Celsius. So the air, ideally, is 15 degrees Celsius, but we don't get that kind of temperature in a lot of places, especially in a hot and dry climate. So we have a couple of options to alleviate that problem. Number one, the inefficient option, is to work the compressor a lot
a lot more, which would use a lot more energy, but that's not even the issue. The issue is that there's a lot easier of a way. So what they have found at TEPCO company is that they have instead tried to use an ice storage unit to work as a thermal storage compartment, because you know the thermal storage capacity of ice is 100 times more than that of the water. So here they store, they create ice essentially at midnight until the morning when no one is using the power and the air is colder, because that is what happens. The difference between temperatures during the day and temperatures during the night in dry climates is pretty massive. So it's a lot easier to create the ice during that time. So they do that so that in the morning or at noon during peak hours, 12 p.m. to like 4 or 5 p.m., they have the ice to cool the water that is in the storage, and the cooled water goes through a radiator behind the air duct so that the air, the probably hot air that comes through the chamber is cooled using the water that is in the ice storage compartment. That water cools the air down to like 15 degrees and gives us ideal conditions to work with. So the compressor doesn't need to work that hard. We get our ideal conditions through the ice storage unit. And that is how they are able to offset the amount of electricity that we would lose if we were to use the compressor a lot harder. And that's pretty much how a gas turbine works as well, but also this is the innovation here. A better way to cool the air and get the machine, get a gas turbine to work at peak performance. There are other less efficient methods of cooling the water that comes through the chamber. Both of them are called evaporative cooling. The first type is done through a wet media, most likely a cooling pad that you see in water coolers everywhere. So how it works is that there's a lot of surface and they run water through it, and the air is going to go through this cooling pad. So as the air goes through the cooling pad, the water absorbs the heat from the air and evaporates. Evaporation is an endothermic procedure, which is heat absorbing, which means that the heat is absorbed from the air and transferred to the water, which evaporates, making the air that runs through the cooling pad a lot cooler. This is a rather wasteful method because, well, you're using water, because in the method that I showed you, you don't use water. The water is just circulated back into the system. This one, you use water, and it's just generally not that efficient. The other method is even more inefficient. You see it in a lot of places in like outdoors restaurants. They spray water through the air that is going to go through the chamber, and the extremely tiny water droplets absorb the heat from the air and evaporate as they are sprayed. This also absorbs heat from the air, and that is why when you go through the spray of water, you feel a cool breeze, because the air is a lot cooler, because its heat is transferred to the water molecules. So both of these methods are pretty inefficient, and I just wanted you to note about other methods that are used, but they are definitely more inefficient. And the chart is a demonstration of how our thermal storage system would perform in an actual 400 megawatt hour power plant system. When the ice is getting used during in midday, it bumps up the production by a difference of 60 megawatts in a regular 400 megawatt hour power plant. All right, now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy.
God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from
every day. But what matters most is trying to find distress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out. Felt, or so-called Namad, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namad Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with Felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of these disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reach the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem, how is the process towards the solution, and what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is this phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for tuning in. It's bye for now.
Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
On that morn, before the world was born, in the snow, I hear that music near and far. Did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence of
divine music? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the All Beneficent, the Ever Merciful. All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the prophets, Muhammad, and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua, and I am Abdul Raza Bahrani. Insha'Allah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now, let's listen to some passages of this Ziyarat.
The Ziyara of al-Yasin.
As-salamu alayka ayyaha al-alam al-mansoob wal-ilm al-masboob والغاوث والرحمة الواسعة وعدا غير مكذوب.
Peace be upon you, O appointed penin, poured knowledge, aid and expansive mercy,
This is verily a promise that shall never be belied.
In the previous programs, we were explaining another sentence of Ziyarat al-Yasin, and we were focused on one of the characteristics and one of the titles of Imam alayhi salam. We mentioned that Imam alayhi salam was named as the raised standard, the overflowing knowledge, and the help, succor, and shelter for the needy and for the grieved and distressed people. The sentence of Ziyara was, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-alamu al-mansoob, wal-ilmu al-masboob, wal-ghawthu wal-rahmatu al-wasi'atu wa'adan ghayra makdhoob. We talked about the first two, I mean, being a raised standard for the guidance of the people, and the overflowing knowledge, which was a reflection and manifestation of God's knowledge. And we talked somehow about different types of the knowledge that Imam alayhi salam has. And then we were talking about the ghawth, which means the succor, the help, shelter, and support and relief. We explained somehow about that, and then we came to this point that whenever we are in a difficult situation, we can call Imam alayhi salam to help us. And there are so many stories that Imam alayhi salam has come to help the people and has come to the people's succor. Therefore, we need to know how to call Imam alayhi salam. We said that the most important thing in calling Imam alayhi salam is our intention. The intention should be a pure intention. It should be sincerely for the sake of God. And we should not call Imam alayhi salam for the forbidden and prohibited things. Then when we want to call Imam alayhi salam, we said that there are plenty of sentences and ways to call Imam. And if you refer to Mafatih al-Janan, you will find various du'as and supplications in this regard. When you are in need of something, when you have a demand or haja, there are different supplications and ziyarat in Mafatih al-Janan that through them you call Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, to come to your succor and to your help, and to relieve you from the pains and the sufferings that you are experiencing. We said that there are some very short sentences and phrases that they are suggested in narrations, that whenever we are in need of the help of Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we can call Imam alayhi salam with these sentences.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief. Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayh, addressing the Shias, says, pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed, and heartbroken due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, or the afflictions, the problems, and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr jalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا
The Ocean of Dua, Commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
I told you three of these sentences in the previous session, and there are two other sentences here that I would like to tell you, and because they are very short, you can memorize them and you can repeat them whenever you are in need of Imam alayhi salam's help and support. So the fourth sentence is Ya maw'udul muntadhar unzur ila al muhtadhar. So I repeat it once more so that you can memorize it or write it down. Ya maw'udul muntadhar unzur إِلَى الْمُحْتَضَرِ. And the fifth and the last sentence that I want to tell you is الْمُسْتَغَاثُ بِكَ يَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ. الْمُسْتَغَاثُ بِكَ يَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ. It says that I am calling for your help and I am in need of your help, O the master of the time, who is Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And there's another point to be mentioned here, and that is there is no definite time or any numerical limit prescribed to seek Imam's help. So whenever you are in need of the help of Imam, you can call him. So there is no limitation in calling Imam, because, you know, sometimes I've heard some of brothers and sisters, for example, they say when you go to under the dome of Imam alayhi salam, under the dome of Imam Hussein, then there you can ask for one thing and God the Almighty has guaranteed that he will give you that one thing. But when we refer to the narrations, we think that there's no number for that one thing, or sometimes I've heard three things, three demands, and you can make three wishes under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No, you can make as many as you like, because we, according to the narrations, the dua and the demands and wishes will be met and will be answered and fulfilled by God the Almighty that are made under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There is no number for that. God the Almighty is not weak. When so, for example, we say that just God is able to grant us one of our needs or wishes. No, God is not weak, and he has the all power which is needed to give us our wishes and make our wishes come true, and to answer our calls and meet our needs. So here is the same. When we are asking Imam Mahdi, Ajallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif, there's no limitation for that, or any numerical limit or any definite time. For example, just do it in the morning or in the afternoon or this day or that day. No, whenever you are spiritually inclined towards Imam alayhi salam and towards imploring His Eminence, you can do one of these sentences. You can repeat one of these sentences that were mentioned earlier without any hesitation, and inshallah, Imam alayhi salam will come to your help and answer you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir, and now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says American and European presence is the root cause of the ongoing conflicts in West Asia. Iran launches a massive missile attack at Israel's military targets in retaliation for the regime's violation of the country's sovereignty and assassinations of resistance leaders. And in Lebanon, Hezbollah fighters force Israeli troops to retreat after they tried to infiltrate into a southern town. I am Bahman Nurayi. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the presence of extra-regional powers claiming to seek peace is the root cause of the ongoing conflicts in West Asia. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei was addressing a group of academic elites in Tehran. He said the conflicts in the region would end if the United States and certain European states would stop their negative influence. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that regional countries have the capacity to govern themselves and coexist peacefully. He also referred to the martyrdom of Hezbollah leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah in an Israeli airstrike in Beirut last week. Iran's leader said he was very saddened by Nasrallah's loss. Iran has launched some 200 ballistic missiles on Israeli targets.